Welcome, everyone, to episode 13 of the Mountain Outhouse Pod. We're going to play our song right away.
Run, sleep, get high. Run, play it, stay low. Run the mountain, run the road. Run past the eight stand to the commode. Oh, run, sleep. One stream, two guys, Mountain Outpost. Now here's your host.
Yeah, what are you mixing up there? I'm one of your co-hosts, Jam Jam Jamel Curry.
I'm your other co-host, Skizzle Fresh, Skylar Hall. I had to stop the mic because I figured it would be really annoying for people, but I was trying to do like a maraca with my protein shake, just like.
I was vibing it. I'm still vibing it. It's good stuff. Welcome back, everyone. We're back 13th week in a row. Records are being smashed. Actually, I think our longest running show that we did have is the news show. But anyways, welcome for those that are in the chat. If you are here, we've got a few already. Some, I think, regulars, Charlie Seymour, Brian Aaliyah. Welcome back, everyone. Good to have you. I'm back in Arizona. Last week, I was coming to you from Tennessee. Skylar is also home. No travel this week for us. Thank goodness. We'll get into that. We'll get into why I was in Tennessee. A lot of you already know. We'll talk about what happened out there. And we got some other news stuff going on in the sport of running. This show, if you're new to it, we're just a couple friends talking about running stuff. Skylar loves the flatter track type of stuff. I like the vert stuff, and we go into a little bit of it all on this show. Pretty much whatever banter we want to throw into the mix. We'll take some of your questions live, and there we go.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Shut it down.
Wrap it up.
Another good one.
Good times. No, how are you doing, dude? Let's just top lines. How are you feeling? How are you readjusting to the time zone? Like, how's life?
Yep. Oh, people are already commenting on the new sound absorbing booth. So I am in a little bit of a different configuration. If you didn't notice, it's like I'm shooting into the corner. It's not that big of a deal, but it is a change. We got this huge furniture delivery at our office, which we will be posting a video soon on the Air Viper Running YouTube channel. So go make sure you're subscribed over there. But we have a lot of new furniture. It's very exciting. We're building out our studio and our just office in general. It was still a little bit bare. So we got to thank, we'll be thanking the people who helped us with that in a future video and do a whole tour. It's going to be good stuff. But yeah, I am back in Arizona. The time zone, not a huge deal. I slept on the plane flights pretty much, put the old mask on from basically, you know, the time you hit the airport on one end to the time you get back. I don't know. It was an uneventful trip back because on the way out there, 7-hour layover in Dallas, good times.
Yeah, you got caught right in the heart of that storm that then knocked out power to like 6 million people or something.
Yeah.
Something wild.
Yeah. Crazy. So yeah, I did make it back. Put in probably, I think it was the biggest 6-day training stretch that I've ever completed in my life. So yeah.
That's saying something.
Yeah. The stats. I like to keep my boot camp private, my actual runs out there, just the Barkley mystique, you know? So that you won't be able to find that, but, I did run in 6 days, 5 days were in Tennessee. And then I came home Sunday night and put in some more work before to close that week out. But, in a 6-day span, 125 miles, 40,000 feet of climbing, 33 hours of training basically. So I tried to go to sleep early Sunday night.
After no, I'm out.
19 miler. And I tried to go for a run Monday morning. I was gonna like get another bout of vert. And
why?
I literally went a half mile and my Achilles is like, nope, you're gonna go home now. You're gonna take the rest of the day off, and then you're gonna take like today, Tuesday, I have not run yet, and I'm gonna give it a try after the show, but yeah.
Just walk, dude. Just power hike. Work on that skill set.
So that was a lot. That was aggressive. It was a lot of hours out there in the snow and the cold, but I felt good. My Sunday night run might have been a bit. Hopefully, it wasn't too much, but we'll have to find out.
I mean, traditionally, we don't recommend hopping off a plane, especially being crammed in and seated for a while, and then going to run. Correct. So
19 miles and 6,000 feet of climbing.
Yeah. That's not just the vert averse person me saying that. I think that's just like common sense, but like you do you. I don't want another TDG situation where we do too damn much. So let's play this one smart, shall we?
We're gonna try that.
It's just consistency, all right? Game of 2021, just like consistency. We just need you to be like healthy the entire way through. We're gonna do slam of the dam. Let's just focus on that. The fitness is clearly there because what did you run the week before? Like
five,
6 miles?
5 miles.
Yeah. So
that's not the opposite of consistent is basically me. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you basically did I can't even do the math on that. What is that? The 1250% rule or something? Like
5 to 125. Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
You are fortunate that you have a lot of historical training in your legs that they can just like do that sort of thing. That literally would break most people. It's full stop.
I mean, I might be broken. We'll have to find out. Hopefully not. We'll see. I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be fine. We just, you know, I stopped my run when it wasn't feeling good. So I'll give myself kudos for that.
Yes. Yes. You have evolved as a human being since we first met. So that's good.
Yay.
Yeah. Just get that lacrosse ball. Just like roll out your arches while we're doing this. You're already sitting there. So two birds and one stone.
We could talk about my brother too. Speaking of ridiculous training, after his Black Canyon, he throws down, I think, 103 mile week or something this past week. Just basically doesn't even break stride. That's pretty wild.
So. I did see him respond to somebody on Strava with, I believe the quote was, "I was never planning to slow down after Black Canyon, no matter what happened." So
Nick said that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is wild to think about because had he gotten that golden ticket, I mean, we're talking a matter of minutes, then the entire calendar of his year just completely changes to go, you know, Western States and Worlds for the 24-hour distance. But I guess this is just what 24-hour people do. I don't know. It's just how they grind out on a regular basis.
It's definitely a different program for sure. Because I think most other athletes that ran Black Canyon anywhere in the range of his time that he ran, pretty much taking it the week off, more or less, maybe a couple easy runs, lots of days down completely. And Nick just didn't break stride, just, you know, bust out another. He was waking up like 3:30 in the morning, I think, to do like a 20-mile run on Wednesday or something. So just beastly.
Absurd. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, it looked, at least from like the very few things that I saw, it was still relatively flat. So he's playing after my heart, but like he's still doing dumb
stuff. I mean, I did more vert in my Sunday evening stroll in a single run on Sunday night before to close out the week than he did the whole week running 103 miles or whatever it was. So definitely flat for sure.
Well, also you did more on your Sunday evening stroll than I've done in the last month. So
not the smartest idea. Barkley training, it was good. It was very cold the first day. I think we talked about that last week. I think my feet were purple. Mm-hmm. That was my very, first run. So, it snowed a couple different times. It was, you know, teens or 20s, maybe 30s every single day. We didn't get a ton of rain or like poured on while out there. But it was just cold. It was cold the whole week. Towards the end, it was actually pretty nice. It was sunny in the days. And we had, you know, I think by the end of our last day, it was like 40 degrees when we were finishing. And that was toasty. Like I was pretty hot just by that point in time. So it's amazing how you can get used to the cold. And that's kind of the reason for going out there, you know, getting out acclimated into that type of weather for sure.
Yeah. Well, we had people across the country just like in their houses with similar temperatures. You're like, yeah, I'm actively seeking this out for half a day and like playing around in it. So you're a weird person, I must say. How was the sort of like gear test? Like, were you trying out different things that you're hoping to switch up from your last Barkley run, or was it pretty much, you know, you're going to run with the same sort of setup and you were just cruising along?
Yeah, I didn't purchase new gear prior to this trip, really. I'm kind of in the market for a new light right now, so still kind of figuring that out. But it was good to get out there in this colder weather and figure out and get kind of tuned back into what cold weather running is, because Barkley, we never know what we're going to get out there. I mean, we kind of know we're going to get really awful weather at some point. And so getting used to what layers do I need to use? I mean, I ran in basically tights the entire week. I never even just wore only shorts. I stripped down to, I think, just a long sleeve shirt and no jacket for a couple of the days, or at least, you know, always started with a heavy jacket on. And a lot of times you're freezing when you get out of the car, but then within 30 minutes after the first half, you know, 30 minutes of climbing and you're burning up. So, I think getting those layers dialed, I kind of know the maximum of what I'll need. And then beyond that, I'm still going to bring a whole nother layer. If there's absolute insanity out there, let's say it rains / snows for 24 hours straight, I'll be prepared for that. If it's an Armageddon scenario, basically, you know, I never want to quit because I didn't have the right layer or the right gear, right protection. That should never be a reason to quit or stop the race, in my opinion. That's just poor planning and poor preparation. So I think gear wise, yeah, I'm going to stick with similar to last time. I think shoe wise, if it's great weather, the Salomon Ultra Pro. If it's muddy, it's going to be the Sense Pro 4. That's kind of what I used last 2 years ago in 2019, I think. Yeah. So I hope I can get, I need to get my feet on some more Sense Pro 4s for sure. I think I'm down to my last pair. So probably be doing a little gear shopping in the next couple weeks. Lighting wise. Yeah. I'm searching. I'm trying to find something brighter that can, I love all the light I can get when I'm out there in an event like this. So the more lumens, the better. The only time I think that's bad is when you have extreme fog and it just reflects right back in your face. Right. So that would be a time where I would dim it down to a lower setting. But I think if it's clear, the more light you can get, the better off you'll be in terms of just finding the trail and staying more alert as well. I think if it can be like daylight, you're going to find your way quicker. You're going to waste less time, pick your path and stay awake. So
sweet.
My nutrition was terrible, by the way. So
I was about to ask that, but I figured you would naturally let us know. So in your normal life, like on a normal run from the office, I feel like you never have the proper nutrition. You're like, oh, I haven't eaten in like 6 hours and I'm just going to like go do this fasted run all of a sudden. So like how,
yeah,
compared to that baseline, it was as normal. It was worse. Like what exactly?
Well, yeah.
What'd you mess up?
My day-to-day life and when I'm working and in the office, my diet is awful. I don't plan or prep meals well, and that's not good. And I just consume caffeine all day. So, but this is the opposite. When I was there, I went shopping and actually had, I kind of had time to make some meals. And so when I wasn't training, I was making sure to eat a good breakfast right when I got started. And when I was off the trail, I was starving and made dinner and real food and all that kind of stuff. So that was good. But then on the trail itself, I didn't plan or prepare my nutrition in advance. So I just went to a local store and picked up really quickly, like a big pack of Clif Bars, a big pack of candy, essentially. It was like a 3-pack of Swedish Fish and 2 different types of Sour Patch Kids.
Love it.
Pop-Tarts. I mean, we're talking all the good stuff here. So I don't know. I don't think that was a very good strategy looking back on it. I mean, it's a lot of that can be similar to some of the gels you can get, you know, it's basically simple sugars. So, room for improvement, I think. I'm going to put more thought and planning into when I actually go out there. I think it'll be a good idea.
It sounds like it would be. Yeah. More importantly, what flavor Pop-Tarts did you grab here?
Brown sugar cinnamon. Is that it? Okay. Brown sugar maple, whatever.
Yeah, no, brown sugar cinnamon. You're good. Yep. Cool. That's like I feel like the least problematic to eat. Like it's smooth, it's easy.
I can eat those all day, yeah. Those are good.
No weird frosting on it. But it is frosted because Pop-Tarts that don't have a frosting are not Pop-Tarts. And I will fight anybody to the death on this. So you chose wisely. That was your safe bet.
Yeah. And beyond that, trying to think. When I got off the trail a couple days, I had to get some like emergency fast food. So it's like some fries and then a Taco Bell burrito one day. So, you know, all the good stuff. All the good stuff.
Fourth meal now becoming like second and a half meal. I can respect that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Taco Bell could just be an anytime meal. So if you want to like keep that like in your diet until Barkley, that'll really train your gut to deal with some just like nastiness. And then once you're out there, everything will feel easy and smooth.
Yeah. And then we had to visit, you know, our favorite restaurant in Wartburg, of course, to go, obviously. People over there, they don't really do the mask thing. Not really a thing. So it was to go for sure. But yeah, El Patron, I believe, is the restaurant, Mexican food restaurant right there.
Okay.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
So all in all, let's give us a rating on how you feel about the trip.
I mean, I felt great until my Achilles blew up Monday, but I think I still feel good about the trip. I mean, I think it was good to get out there. I don't know. I mean, at some point, I don't know that I need to keep doing the boot camp trip. That was one thought I had. You know, there's only so many places you can actually go legally to train on. And I've kind of like exhausted that many times now over the last few years and then just doing so many loops during the race. So I don't know. I don't know if in the future I will continue to go out in advance. It's become like second nature knowing the course and the trails out there. So I don't know that it's really needed. But overall, yeah, I'm really happy I went out there. It's all fresh in my mind now and it's a good refresher.
So if you didn't go specifically to Tennessee, would you still want to do a boot camp elsewhere, like just for a change of scenery?
I think the most valuable thing was just the time, maybe the time away from normal duties. So I wasn't like, if I'm here and I'm, you know, coming into the office every day, or, you know, day-to-day stuff, like I'm not going to make the time to go on a 6-7 hour run every day. And so I was kind of, people knew I was doing that. So I think just maybe taking a week off just to train would probably be a good idea. And maybe going somewhere. You're right. I mean, just that I can check and tune out a little bit and just focus on training, focus on eating well, focus on getting a little bit more sleep than normal, I think would be beneficial, definitely.
So obviously, having never been to Tennessee, I don't know, or to, you know, Frozen Head, I don't know how well the cell coverage is, like, at the park. Like, we always hear that basically if you're outside the campground, it's, like, non-existent. So is there an element of just, like, not being reachable that comes into play, or is what we hear Barkley Weekend kind of overblown and, like, you actually did have your phone on you and if you wanted to, like, Instagram, you could or something like that?
No, I mean, there's a lot of dead spots in the park. Actually, there's only a few spots where you can get service in the park. I think up by the campground, it's very spotty. So when you're actually in camp or by the yellow gate, you might be able to get, like, check an email. You might be able to get or send a text message, but it can be tough to you wouldn't be able to watch a YouTube video, I don't think, from that exact spot. Even anywhere else in the park, I think maybe by the visitor center, you could definitely check some messages out there and respond to some emails and whatnot, make some phone calls. And then different parts of the park, the fire tower, even on top of the fire lookout tower on the top of the peak, I mean, you stand on one side of it and it's like, oh, I'm getting work messages on base camp. And then I go to the other side and I have zero bars of service. Like, it's just so spotty, even on the highest point. So yeah, it's a good spot to check out. I think most days I just put I have my phone with me just to take some photos and things, or like to check a map of the route that I have created. So I can kind of see where my jump off points, if I need to look back on something. But for the most part, I'm just in airplane mode for, you know, 5 to 8 hours a day out there. And yeah, it was nice to just focus on just being out there.
So I think naturally there's a question about safety when you're out there. And I think you said that Maggie had been at least, like, in the area when you were in range. But, like, there's the mother in me has to ask, like, did somebody have your route when you were out there? Did somebody know when you were going out there? Like, you know. You have liabilities, or you have dependents and things. So, like, you should. How does that work, Factory?
I mean, I did.
I'm just asking for myself because somebody's gonna come looking for me and I'll be like, I don't know. So I'm just covering my bases.
Yeah, it had been lost out there before, I guess, or overdue for a while. But yeah, I did run with Maggie some days. She was also working, so she would do partial days some of the days. There's also a few others that we met up with out there on different days who were out there. But yeah, I mean, some days, no one knew where I was. And I was just out there, you know, in the snow, 20 degree weather. Yeah, no one knows where I was for sure. And no one had been on the mountain that day because there's zero footprints. Mine were the only footprints that went on these trails that day. Like, no one else would have been out there for sure. Yeah. Always carry a bivy space blanket. It's always in my pack every time I go. I understand the risks for sure, but yeah, definitely had a space blanket with me at all times. Definitely had a phone with me. Yeah. Maybe it would have been a good idea to carry one of those satellite devices. I'm now thinking about this. This is good.
That's what I'm here for, to make sure that when I somehow end up as a suspect and I'm be like, I was across the country. Like, I just want to make sure that we're all set. Yeah. So I guess in moral of the story for those listening at home, don't try this at home. Jamil is a trained professional.
That's right.
Who's a madman. So take that for what you will. There might be things in the chat if you want to.
It's been pretty quiet. I think people are bored of my Barkley stories, probably.
Or they're just listening very intently and taking it all in.
Would it be helpful to get somewhere with nasty weather periodically? Yeah, I think yes and no. I mean, I feel pretty confident that in nasty weather, like I said before, I'm going to have the right gear to continue, but I'm also just going to mentally continue. So. But I think that's why part of the reason why I go to Frozen Head this time of year is and if the weather looks terrible and there's snow and it's in the single digits and it's raining for half the day, I embrace it. I welcome it. I am happy that that's happening and I want to get out into it. Let's see here. Tell me nasty weather, scary stories.
The way you read that was very creepy, I must say.
Yeah.
Tell me nasty weather, scary stories.
That's what it says from Chris Andrew.
I don't doubt that's what it says. Just the way you went about reading that made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Are there really, though, that are not, I guess, like, made worse because of the race? Or, you know, what's the – how – okay, let me put it this way. How does a Barkley boot camp bad weather day differ, like, mentally and physically than a Barkley race week bad weather day?
Well, yeah, during boot camp, it's going to be colder. It's just earlier in the year. But so usually, I mean, snow is better than rain. I mean, I don't know if that's a universal thing. I mean, I'm from the desert, so we don't get either that often. But I would say I'll take snow falling on me versus rain, no doubt. I think it's easier to deal with. The biggest thing is we're not allowed to be out on the trails past sunset, even before. We're supposed to be off the trails an hour before sunset. So by 5 p.m., by 5:15 p.m., we have to be off the trails. So there's no, you don't even have to think or worry about having to go through the night with bad weather. It's just not going to happen. And you're not going to be in the dark out there during boot camp week. You can't really, they open the gates at 8 a.m. So you pretty much have 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You clock in, you clock out if you want to pull a full day. And so you don't have to worry about it. During the race, it's nonstop. You can't sit out the weather. You're going to have to go through it. And you're going to have to go through the night and the early hours and deal with whatever is being thrown at you. So I think that's the biggest difference. You just don't have a choice. You got to go through it.
Makes perfect sense.
As far as nasty weather, I mean, I've been in 24 hours of rain at Barkley before where the whole slopes turn into a mudslide, or even the trails that are a little off camber, it becomes, you're just slipping off of it and hard to maintain grip. I've had in terrible intense fog, you can't see anything. That, I mean, that's pretty much every Barkley, but some years are worse than others. We've had very low temperatures in the low teens before, where the jugs of water on top of Frozen Head Peak are just blocks of ice. So yeah. And that's another thing. I didn't drink. That was another thing I wasn't great at, is just drinking water out there when it's this cold. You know, it's hard for me to remember to do that. I'm just running along, hours slip by, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I've been out here for 5.5 hours and I drank one bottle of water. I should probably drink some more water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the first day, I mean, my bottles were freezing. I mean, it's probably a common occurrence for many of you out there listening, but to me, it's a novel concept. Like, oh, I just can't even drink water right now because the little soft flasks at the top are frozen.
Quick aside, timeout.
Yep.
Speaking of drinking, we didn't talk about this at the top. You have a can in front of you.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What is that of, sir?
This is just the Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic IPA, Run Wild. I've got one more of these in the fridge after this one. So I'm planning to run later. So I'm not going to have a real beverage yet.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Now that I've moved on from my goo protein drink, I'm cracking open a Crowns and Hops joint, the HBCU IPA. I figured it's the last show we're going to have during Black History Month. So saw this bad boy in a local shop and was like, I have no idea what it's about, but I'm gonna try it, and you guys are gonna witness that that goes down. So, all cool. Right. Well, cheers, sir. It's good to have you back
cheers,
in one
cheers.
Piece.
Yep.
Yeet. All right. What else is happening?
Let's see. We got some more. The comments started to roll in once I called out the audience for not enough comments. So
harassment as a motivation tool. That's awesome.
Cole Nypaver checking in. Did you venture north of the park into the Cumberland Mountains at all? I did not, but I believe you did, sir. I think you went on a 40-mile adventure. He invited me on Sunday. I was traveling home. So yeah, let us know in the comments how that went. Please comment away and we will read it off and let people know. But yeah, local in the area. Cumberland Trail sounds pretty awesome. It travels through Frozen Head State Park, but it travels across Tennessee. I believe they're still building it. So it'd be, I would love to venture northbound at some point in my running career here. Will you make a 2021 Barkley bootcamp video from this trip's footage? Great question. I will make a dedicated Barkley bootcamp video, but it's not going to have a whole lot of footage because I did not even bring a GoPro on this trip, nor did I bring a drone, nor did I bring any other sort of camera. Number one, I left Monday morning right after Black Canyon, right after our live stream, and I didn't even have equipment. I had like lent it all out on course. So number one, I just didn't really have anything. And two, I just really wanted to focus on the training this time around and not have to think about a camera. And honestly, it was pretty nice. I did not have to think about that or worry about that for this trip. It was all about getting there, getting the training in, and look at the results. You know, I got in a ton of miles, a ton of vert, more than I thought, I guess maybe equal to what I thought possible, but really kind of more than I thought possible. I didn't think I would hit 40K last week. So in taking a full rest day too, a travel day. So super stoked on that. Yeah.
Think about all the extra miles in vert you could have got by setting down the camera, then running past it, then running back to pick it up and then keeping going.
I'm yes. Someday I will do that again. have you thought about doing the Barkley Fall Classic for kicks? Not seriously, to experience the briars in full bloom. I mean, I don't know about that. That sounds like something I don't want to be part of, but maybe someday after I get my five loops. Alan Stark, did you see the Junior Park Ranger? Saw that video again the other day. Unfortunately, I did not see him. He was missing. He's gone missing. Let's see. What do we got here? Do the Currys trade training secrets with each other? I'm trying to crack Nick's secret. He's holding out, though.
It's pretty public. Like,
yeah,
he's not very. It's not a lot of illusion. You can just see all the runs right there on Strava.
We got a nice beer choice, Skyler from Thomas Bowling.
It is actually pretty solid. I didn't know what to think. Or I didn't know what I was going to think, but it's legit. I respect it.
May Gaxstetter agrees that snow versus rain is better from northern Minnesota. I think you would be the expert on that.
Yeah, slush. Slush was always the thing I hated about being back east. It was like when it was just snow, fine. But it's that like middle ground where it's like all runny in the side of the street where you actually have to run. That's what I could not roll with. That's what ruined many a footwear choices I made. So I think slush is the worst, and then rain and then snow is probably the best of those three.
We had, I think it was the second day. There were three cars. We were waiting to get into the park. I think it had rained or snowed that morning. It was a combination of the two, I believe. There was three cars lined up before 8 a.m. at the gate. It was three Barkley vehicles, me, Maggie, and then some other people. And like the ranger must have thought like people are absolutely crazy waiting in line to get into the park when the road has like an inch of slush on it. And like crazy Barkley people, just no one else probably came to the park that day. And I think they shut off the road beyond the visitor center because they were concerned that it was going to drop below the freezing point and the whole thing would just turn into an inch of ice. So, yeah. And so they just blocked the road and it's like, here we are. We all suit up, but it's just raining and we head out for a full day on the trails. And yeah, I think that was the day where I ended up being the last on the mountain and running in slush all day, basically. And then it all froze overnight. So the next day it was all crunchy and yeah, good times, good times. Tight doggy dog says, usually the colder the weather, the better the shower feels after. That's also absolutely true.
I don't know if I'm going to co-sign that one, because the initial stinging of pins and needles everywhere, it's brutal. And if you're in that feeling for like 7 minutes as your body like comes back to life, I don't think that's satisfying. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Yeah. Your results may vary, but
I definitely had to sit in the warm shower that first day for a while just to warm my whole body back up and get the color to return to my toes and my feet.
Yeah.
So Cole Nypaver, our friend from Tennessee, says the 40 miler is set for later in March. Okay. So I misinterpreted that. The plan is to go from Frozen Head to Cove Lake State Park via the Cumberland Trail. It gets pretty remote north of Frozen Head. Real banjo country up there.
So, all right.
Sweet.
Take our theme song with you. See if they'll they co-sign it. So
you might find them up there. Numbers asks Skylar, what is your favorite marathon shoe at the moment?
Oh, rough. total change of pace. I was not prepared for that at all.
We had to circle it. We were getting a little heavy on the Barkley talk, so we had to circle it back around.
It's fine. We know who people are here for. Personally, I'm probably going to still end up running in the the Pursuit, the new Balance Pursuit, which is like the new edition of the Zante. I don't do carbon shoes often. I honestly don't know where my Carbon X ones are. They got put in a closet somewhere. They might be in storage downstairs. I'm not sure. I've had a lot of folks, including Nasty Nate, who I got a very quick hitter run in on my way back home today. He just got those Saucony Speeds, I think. Not the one that's like the carbon plate, but the other one. And he was raving about them. So I might give those a shot. But I have at least, Boston would likely be my first marathon back. So I got until September, late September, to land on a shoe that I think will serve my purposes. But you're not going to see me in Next Percents. I'll put it that way. Just going to see how the body reacts to ramping up training again, and then just do what feels good. That's where I'm at. Also figure out is a track spike, because I got to get ready to throw down some fast times, because the goal was to set PRs from the mile on up. So I got to figure out either a spike or a nice waffle that I can actually like take to the track.
What did you run your last marathon in?
My last marathon was Mountains to Beach, and I ran that in the Zante Pursuit, or the Zante, New Balance Zante, whatever number it was at the time. Which is great, because literally it was the same shoe I wore at Boston like a month prior, where I was surrounded by people and Alpha Flies or Next Percents or whatever Nike shoe was out at the time, the bright orange one. And then the same thing happened at Mountains to Beach, even though it's a huge net downhill course. And so these people just like didn't know how to use the rocker while running downhill for like 8 consecutive miles. So yeah, I won that battle, I think.
We've got from Samuel Hartman. Do you remember, this is a question for me, do you remember when Laz allowed iPods, and do you wish that would come back? Yeah, Laz outlawed electronics of any kind within the last couple of years, I believe, and that includes music. So even when I started running Barkley, I mean, you could bring an iPod or like some kind of a music player, MP3 player that wasn't a phone. Like Jared Campbell, I know, would always plug in and have headphones in almost every lap, or definitely his later loops. He would throw music in. I think Gary was the same way. So yeah, that's no longer a thing. He also, he outlawed GoPros. I think after the year I made that video of me running with the GoPro on course, although he did ask for that. So he asked for volunteers to carry GoPros, but that was kiboshed pretty quick. So, mm-hmm. The one interesting thing, I was on the plane flight home, I was just pulling up old race reports of previous finishers, and JB, Jonathan Basham, who I think was the ninth finisher, somewhere around there, I believe, 2010 is when he finished the Barkley after a few attempts. And he, in his race report, talks about the amount of elevation gain his Suunto watch showed per lap. And I was like, damn, they could wear GPS watches back then. That's crazy. Like, they could know what altitude they were at during the race. They could use that information to their advantage as they're climbing. They could literally know at this elevation, I then need to turn this direct, like turn the, make this special turn, you know, or something like that. Or like, oh, it's nighttime. I have this much more climbing to do to hit the summit or hit the top of the next ridge. Like, that's crazy. It's just so much harder now. It's wild.
Yeah. And I mean, that was also a pre Strava world though. So you still had to know the map well enough to say like, here's, you know, here are those markers. But yeah, the fact that they had that data at their hands definitely makes life easy.
Yeah,
easier.
It wouldn't have been publicly shareable, but you could use that yourself in your planning and your training and, and all that kind of stuff. Definitely. I mean, I have my own map that I've drawn, you know, just because I know the trail so well. But yeah, it is pretty interesting. Charlie Seymour says, so Barkley finisher Nicodemus De La Rosa, or Nicodemus Holland, is on the 50K entrance list for Copper Corridor. I didn't see that. That's exciting. Thoughts? I think it's exciting. That's all. I actually just read his race report too. So I will keep an eye out for him and hopefully see him and chat with him.
Yeah.
Numbers asks, don't the books you need to pull pages from get kind of mangled over the course of the race? What happens if someone pulls the wrong page? Yeah, if people don't put them back, they're in usually two plastic bags. They have to put these things out weeks in advance. And they typically duct tape them like shut. So the first person has to kind of tear open the bag a little bit. You try and put it back in the bag and tuck it out of the weather at least. But yeah, I mean, there's times when the books are completely soaked and kind of falling apart. Animals have gotten to the books before, like taking a bite out of them during the race, or even when they hide them, they even can get to them. I think they can smell sometimes. These books are older. They, you know, people find these weird titles and send them to Laz, or Laz probably just goes around looking for these. But yeah, I mean, you got to do your best. I think sometimes the corner where the pages are has been so dilapidated you can't even tell what the page number is supposed to be. So at some point I think you just grab a page if you can't find it. It happens. I mean, and there's some years the books completely disappear. People put them back in the wrong spot. There's tales of even five loop finishers that have had to, they actually don't get the page because for whatever reason the book is missing. They know they're in the right spot, and they even have proof because someone else is with them, and Laz believes them. And I think one year they even gave the runner going back on another loop, I think it was Nicodemus, a book to replace one that was misplaced. So a lot of weird stories.
So Laz has a magic school bus just like at the campground that he can just like pull a book from and be like, it's also in the same theme of this year's titles, go forth. That might be the craziest part, because that means that like there's an honorable mention list of books. He didn't just say like, here are the, you know, 20 books that I'm using for this year. It's like, I actually have 25 and I'm just like chilling with some while you guys are out there.
I think he's been in the game long enough where he understands what can happen out there in a race and he comes prepared. There's There is a little library in the campground, believe it or not. It's basically a shed. I don't think I've ever been in there, to be honest, but I'm now going to have to go because I'm talking about it right now. But you run past it on every loop. It's right below the bathrooms, and there's just this building that's like the Big Cove little library, and I think it's just a free library of books that people take a book, leave a book type of a thing. So definitely going to have to go there now and check it out. And maybe he just dips into the library real quick and grabs an extra book. I don't really know.
That'd be the rudest take a book, leave a book, like at the end of Barkley. They go and recollect all these now dismantled books and put them in and be like, now we're going to take it. Yeah, now we're going to take an equal number back home with us. And so these visitors in the summer, it's like, why are there 80 pages missing?
That's a good book? Well, that's a great question. I don't know if it's ever been asked. What does Laz do with the books that come back from the Barkley? I don't know the answer. Like, does he have like a whole bookcase in his house that's just all the Barkley books with all the pages ripped out, just lined up? I mean, that's what I would do. Man, I hope he doesn't just throw them out. I mean, that's like so much memorabilia right there.
Yeah.
So that would be so awesome.
I mean, there's a lot of funk that would also come with that. They got to be like they got to be in the shed in the back. That's not something you can have in your entryway of your house.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of mold and mildew. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. yeah. Respect. Well, I mean, ask that. That'll be the next Mountain Outpost investigation. What happens? What happens to the books?
Samuel Hartman says Scritch's book talks about each book drop has two books for the folks who get to loops 4 and 5. I don't know what that is, but there's not more than one book per location. Unless it's a different event you're talking about.
Okay.
Numbers got dropping the bombs tonight. Do the veterans get annoyed at the virgins shadowing them on the first loop? 100% accurate. Wow, we were talking a little bit about this. There is a certain sense of, it does feel a bit like a game out there. You know, these people are all trying to latch on to you, and it feels like they're zapping your energy in some regards. I think helping others is important at the Barkley, and we all have been there. So I've been a virgin trying to follow a veteran, and it's critical in order to succeed. You need to work with someone and follow someone. I think you kind of also have to earn the respect, and there's like a period of reality sets in. I think all virgins have been, people have tried to scrape you or have scraped you before. And I think the same thing, you then kind of return the favor. It's not quite hazing, but it's like, I think there's a certain level of that, of wanting to get away from the virgins and kind of maybe mess with them a little bit. Or I think you want to run, at some point you do need to run your own race, and you can't devote your energy to helping everyone else, because then you'll never get there. So, but I think a pack is good. I think it doesn't matter if I'm linked up with someone who's never run it before or someone who's really experienced, as long as we, you know, get along and work together, I think it's all good. And I'd be happy to, you know, if someone can keep up with me out there and can share the burden of helping to find things as we go, or just mentally can help push through something, I think it's beneficial. Mm-hmm. If it no longer is beneficial for you, having the ability to recognize that and move on from the situation, I think is sometimes the only way you're going to get to a 5-loop finish. It's pretty clear from what a lot of the 5-loop finishers have said in their race reports in the past. So, yeah.
It's basically your, like all relationships, there needs to be like a value add if they're going to be out there with you.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty fair to say? Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I know at one point when I was, I think it was the year I got onto loop 4 in 2015, John Kelly, it was his first time. And there was a point part of the way on loop 3 where I think it was just, we were both tired, but he was especially tired. And I think just kind of, really, it just felt like he was slowing me down, and I had to make a mental switch. Like, I'm going to run as hard as I can, and I might drop him and he might not be able to find his way. And there is a feeling of guilt, especially when you've been working together for a loop or a loop and a half, you know, two loops, you've been spending 24 hours out together on the trail, and like, okay, now I'm going to leave this person to fend for themselves. You feel a bit of an attachment, but if I would have just hung back at his pace, you know, I probably never would have gotten out on four or gotten as far as I would have. And I think it's important to recognize when that's happening and break away if you need to.
Yeah, which is interesting, given you lose all semblance of time other than just like the chronological clock on your wrist. But like in terms of like how long you've been out there, like it's, can you tell when your pace is lagging? Other than just like, this is what I should be at this location at this time and I'm behind. Like, can you, like, you could feel that change?
Well, yeah, when you're like sitting down, taking breaks, not moving, it's just, you know that time is bleeding, or you're just going very slow and you know you can move a lot faster. And you can get a sense. I mean, once you've done a few loops, you start to learn how long it's going to take you for a section. Mm-hmm. And you start doing math in your head, constantly doing math in your head. You know, I'm not going to make this loop. I'm losing time. I need to go. You get a sense for that for sure.
Cool.
We do have a couple other ones here.
Just knock them out. Let's go.
I'm trying to figure out which one I want to ask first.
And if you're listening to this after the fact, you can join us live on the YouTube, or just put your comments in the comments under the YouTube. We post it and we'll answer it next week.
We have over 80 in between YouTube and Facebook.
Nice.
I think that might be our biggest crowd ever. Numbers asks, what's the equivalent of Let's Run for mountain ultra runners? I hate those D-bags. I need a new four.
Oh man, I'm with you. I've been conflicted about this, and because we're now doing this podcast and I have to like read news sources across the board, it's forced me to like re-enter the Let's Run world. And the news side of Let's Run, solid. Like, they do a good job, very thorough articles, like doing great interviews, like they're awesome. The message board is the fucking worst, and I refuse to like partake in that. So I don't think there is really, I guess, like there are components of Twitter that I guess like serve the purpose of like meaningless dialogue or just like unnecessary back and forth where it's like none of this is productive, or people are just saying inane or insane things. Instagram comments, I guess it's basically comments of anybody's posts, is probably the closest thing. Luckily, we don't have a message board. Ultra Runner podcast comments get a little weird sometimes, but he's pretty good at moderating. So
I think there's a Reddit ultra running.
Probably.
Like that might be the place that's an alternate to it. That's the only place I can think of. I don't go on there often. I know it exists. Yeah. Maybe you might want to check that out.
Which could also be a wormhole, because once you're on Reddit, all bets are off. Like you might not get back out. You're like, oh, I'm on my like 14th page of the day. It's kind of like what like wiki racing used to be, like where you'd try to get from one article on Wikipedia to another just by clicking links in the article. That's kind of what Reddit is, just for like life. So but you know, we're your news source.
I mean, maybe we need to start something like a
we're
chat.
Not starting a message board.
Okay. Like a Discord, is that a thing? No?
Listen, here's the thing. We have a very nice and friendly group in the chat. And y'all crush it on a regular basis. That's it. This is your community. And then for the people who listen after the fact, we have the comments here and whatever podcatcher of choice. And like, let's just do that. And if you have like a real beef, or you're like, hey, like I want to dig into something, or I want you guys to like pontificate on it, just that's when you slide in the DMs. When you're just like, hey, have you seen? And then we take it from there. You're like, yo, see last week's weird conversations around ultra runners arguing about nutrition and jumping hypebeasts. Like, we'll touch on those third rails. We don't care. we might care. Jamil probably kind of cares because he actually like has races that he wants people to show up to. I don't care. So I'll. What was the analogy I used last week? I want to boil the water. I don't need to stir the pot, but I want the water to boil. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So
I'm here to start the conversation.
Wesley David says, "Let's run is what happens when you crossbreed cancer with more cancer with Satan." Okay.
Again, and just the message boards. The news.
Sure.
Is and good.
Podcasts could be interesting, right?
That one I'm not rolling with.
All right, never mind. So Charlie Seymour is asking numbers. Where did you get his or her name? And they responded back, "It's just my handle. My real name is 9876543210. Touche.
Oh man.
And then then numbers says we should start an ultra running BBS, which is I guess a bulletin board service. Which is that like an email listserv, basically?
If there's one thing that being a very niche YouTube content creator has taught me, it's that giving people the anonymous ability to say anything they want usually does not end well. So I don't know if I want to put my name on a message board. I'm gonna put it out there. Yeah, we got people get real froggy when their name's not attached to stuff. So I don't even want to be even like part and parcel to saying that's a good idea or a thing that we want to get behind. If you want to put your name on it and start some beef, cool. I'm all for that. Like, come with some research, get ready to debate. Like, that's awesome. But don't be an anonymous like D-bag for the sake of being one. Because I will see you at a race. And I got some people who said some crazy stuff in the past couple of years who I will eventually see in person again, and they're going to try to act like things are cool, and I'm about to be like, no, let me check you real quick. So, we're going to take that conversation offline. It is not Jamil. Me and Jamil are cool, but there are some other people who said some not cool stuff. And I'm just going to go ahead and drink my beer, and we're going to go ahead and move on.
Sounds like we need to have a whole episode on this. No, maybe not.
Nah. Oh, it'll turn into a Chappelle Show episode really quickly, and I don't think the audience is ready for that.
Season 2 pod. Pod Live. Outpost Pod Live.
Oh, please let me get a stand-up.
Well, we've already done a live show before.
We did do a live show. I'm really looking forward to going back to
live events
to do that. Well, we only did the one, and I was woefully unprepared. So, yeah, I'd be down to do it again. I should probably just book my ticket to Austin now on the hopes that event happens again. So,
oh my God, I hope so. I missed that.
Such a good time. Man, at some point, we're going to run out of content, or like we're going to need to fill some space on one of these pods. We're going to have to bring up some weird stories of what happens when we go out together.
Well, beyond the public video stuff.
Yeah, just like, though, I mean, it helps that you are significantly more recognizable than me. But just some of the interactions that like go down, or just like the weird nights we get into, and I'm just like, I don't know how we ended up in this. Like, we did some challenge videos, and I did not see it leading to this specific moment that I find myself in this random like bar or like venue, any of those things. There were some pretty funny nights where I'm just like, I don't know how we got out of there in one piece. But
as soon as you said the running event, guess who jumped in the chat? Nancy Hobbs.
Yeah.
ERE 2021 happening.
Good. Okay. I'm literally gonna book my ticket when we get off this. If Southwest allows tickets to be purchased that far in advance. I don't know yet, but I will be there.
Yeah, I will absolutely be there. Numbers asks, has Aravipa ever run a race on the East Coast? I believe you mean organized one. No, not yet.
Okay, looking forward to that April Fool's Day post that'll be coming. So Aravipa will be taking over Barkley and JFK. You heard it here first.
Yep. Okay. Are you guys in? Yeah, we're in. Nancy asks, are we in?
Yeah. or done. I'm on it. Cool. Should we run through some news and then get to like?
Yeah, there was a question. There was a question about Run Flat News, so they want to know what's going on.
Sweet. I'm happy you guys want to know. So, let me dive into it. It'll be a quick hitter in terms of the review component, because this upcoming weekend is going to be very, very exciting. So, in the weekend that was, let's start in the college ranks. We had the Battleborn Classic. Basically, it's like a college cross country meet. For those who have not been keeping track at home, cross country, typically a fall sport, obviously did not happen in its full arrangement. So there were some regular season meets that happened in the fall. There are now some regular season meets happening that are also overlapping with indoor. Conference championships are going to be coming up the next two weekends. And then nationals is, I want to say, like March 14th. So I think indoor college championships is like Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then cross country championships are on Monday. So it's going to be like a real dope weekend of watching college running. But that means that there are some folks who are on the outside looking in, because instead of the traditional regional system where the top two teams automatically qualify and then there's a who's beaten who calculator that lets the rest of the field in, this year it's basically like NCAA basketball where it's a selection committee. So if you won your conference, great. That's a pretty good resume. If you don't win your conference because you're in – like a Power Five conference, your Pac-12, your SECs, your Big East, things like that. You better have at least another race on the calendar to try to bolster that resume. So this past weekend had another cross-country race in Nevada outside of Vegas. NAU won on the men's side, placed four in the top five, and one of their top scores from last year like dropped out after 5K and then went and ran a workout afterwards. So NAU's looking stacked again. So get excited to see what they do. On the women's side, for the first time in the entire kerfuffle of a regular season, the New Mexico women showed up and took the W there. So be interesting to see what happens for both of these teams as they try to figure out who's running indoor versus who's running cross country. And folks can double dip. You can theoretically do both. It's only like a 3-hour drive between the sites. So we'll see how that plays out. But Big Sky, I think, is happening, or West Coast Conference, actually, is happening this weekend. So we'll see, like, NAU and whatnot toe the line for their conference championship. So get excited. In the track world, not a lot from the college ranks to really speak of. But on the pro side, we had the 10, which was, like, Bowerman Track Club's everybody running 10K thing. So you had Elise Cranny outkick Carissa Schweizer. Both run 30:47 for the Olympic standard. I think like the top five women all ran underneath the Olympic standard, not just the trial standard, the Olympic standard. So Bowerman Track Club basically comprised the top five. So if it goes really slow at trials, the number of people who can actually take a spot and go to Tokyo is pretty small. And most of them are now Bowerman Track Club women. On the men's side, you had Mark Scott, 27:10 for the win. Grant Fisher was a second behind him. Woody Kincaid was a second behind Grant. And then Ben True, the man, the unsponsored legend, no longer with Saucony, comes in fourth. I'm super excited for him because he was just like the first non-Bowerman person. But he's also coming off of like injuries and getting left for dead in terms of his ability to make the team. And now he's right back in the thick of it. Also top five men, got the Olympic standard. So starting to look like American men on the distance side are actually going to be able to field a respectable team moving forward. That was outdoor. Going indoor, you had Camel City Invitational. I should say, for the 10, you can find that on YouTube. Just track it, like literally search it. It'll be there. Camel City Invitational. Rachel Snyder won both the mile and the 3K, not something you see happen often. So a nice payday for her, because this event is like $6,000 for the winner of any race. So, and they have like weird time bonuses where if you're on a certain pace at certain intervals in the race, you also get like an additional $250 or something like that. So basically she went and made like $14,000 in the course of like 2.5 hours, which is pretty boss for her. So congrats, Rachel Snyder. In the men's side, we had Willie Fink beat out Jeff Thies. Both of them ran 3:59 and change in the mile. And then in the 3K, you had Craig Novak beat out Brian Barraza, the steeplechaser from Tim Mann Elite. And then Casey Crowder? I'm going to go with that. The Villanova grad. He was third. All of them ran 7:52 or faster in a 3K. So big paydays for them as well. And then in the American Track League, last week we talked about Marquise Dendy, the long jumper and triple jumper, who told everybody to pull up with all the smoke. And if you haven't watched his Instagram lives or his like IGTVs, there was a 59-minute story that he posted yesterday that I watched every single minute of because it was like ridiculous. He was talking about this coach who behind an anonymous Twitter that was like talking about how he didn't respect him and he didn't like his attitude and was like DMing him. And like, he got the coach to call him and like they were FaceTime. It was a whole thing. I'm not going to ruin it, but basically it was riveting for just like the ridiculousness of the entire tale. So he comes out, he won handedly because nobody pulled up and tried to actually compete with him. So unfortunate for the competition, but good for his payday. Allison Felix is back. Good to see her back on the track. And then that was pretty much the weekend that was. And then moving forward, as I said, you got some college cross country conference championships that are coming down the line. But the big one for folks watching at home, I am going to plug Trials of Miles and Sidious Mag on this because they are bringing the Texas qualifier live free to YouTube, which is awesome because you don't see this happen a lot unless it's us. So glad to see somebody else is doing it. But it's going to be legit because you have basically the entire Friday night schedule is just elites, and they're broken into two categories. It's those who are trying to get the Olympic trials qualifier, so the ability to run at the Olympic trials, and then folks who are specifically running to get the Olympic qualifier. So should they get a spot or should they be like in line at the trials, that they will then be able to go as one of the top three athletes from their respective country, or at least America, to go to the Olympics. And the list of folks who are running is insane. So just looking at the trials qualifier on the men's side, we're talking the 1500. You've got a bunch of the 10 man dudes. You have some of these like young college kids who like have thrown down a couple runs. You have Hobbs Kessler, that high schooler that just ran 3:57 a few weeks back. Like, he's in the mix now. So that's going to be insane. On the women's side, you've got Lizzie Bird, Danny Aragon in the 1500. In the 5000, you've got just so many freaking people. It's insane. Grayson Murphy on the women's side. You've got Stephanie Garcia on the women's side. You've got Carrie Verdon. Like, a lot of folks who've been making a name for themselves through this pandemic are showing up for this meet. The men's side, you got like the entire Roots running team, it feels like. You've got half the damn 10-man team. And then in the 10,000, you got like, it's just going to be a who's who. Like Alfred Chalenga on the men's side, Sid Vaughn, Nick Hauger. So like, you got the NAZ Elite crew represented. On the women's side, you got Molly Grable. You've got Carrie Rufo. It's an insane list that they have lined up on the start line. And so if you want to be entertained Friday night, because you can't go anywhere because we're still in the pandemic, just like grab your meal of choice and watch it all live. And then Saturday also has more races. They have like an elite high school field and things like that, because anything's legal in Texas. So check that out. And I'm sure we'll do a recap of all the craziness that was and runs at world bests and things like that. But that's Run Flat News in a nutshell.
Thomas Bowling asks, is that the old Texas relays?
No. So this is specifically an event set up because the indoor season has been shortened and there was no U.S. or world indoor championships to essentially move up the outdoor schedule. So we've seen some of these time trial events, especially in Phoenix. Obviously, you had Sound Running the track meet back in December. But this is really a chance for people to either get a Rust Buster in or just like get an early time qualifier for the trials now and not have to worry about that, since we just don't know what your what a lot of your larger traditional meets are going to look like. We don't know what Penn Relays or you know, or Peyton Jordan, Stanford Invite, like we don't know what any of those are going to look like yet, especially the ones that are on college campuses that might not be completely open by that point. And so getting folks to be able to come onto campus that are not affiliated with the institution might be a bit more difficult. So I think this is one of many meets we'll see set up sort of as a safeguard to ensure that runners have a chance to meet these qualification standards and be able to toe the line in, at least in America, in Eugene come June. So that's the plan. And I think there are going to be more specific qualifiers like this set up just as a backup plan in case some of the larger meets, your oxys, things like that, don't pan out. And I think Mount SAC relays actually canceled the college component, and it might be an elite only thing. So a lot of things popping up. We see a lot of these like time trial Bowerman track club situations where they get like perfectly paced by their own teammates. So, you know, not every group has that ability. And I think some people want to be track meet sharp because the cadence of a track meet is very specific when you have to, you know, warm up, be in the warm up area, like do the whole check-in, clerk of the course, all of that. And then the drug testing component. So I think people just like want to get back in the flow of that so they don't get spazzed out when they're chance to make the Olympic team is on the line.
Sweet.
Cool. That's it. It's Run Flat News in a nutshell.
All right. We're going to do a few minutes of Q&A here before we wrap up this week's show. So if you have anything pressing you would like to ask us, this could be related to Run Flat Stay Low news, anything else that we've talked about tonight or in general about anything having to do with running or what's going on with us. A couple things. Numbers asks, any progress on the what we eat in a day video, Jamil and Skylar? That would be epic. Do we want to circle back on that one?
I was just thinking about that this morning, actually, or yesterday. But I'm now starting to train again. So what I'm eating is a little bit different. So I was like,
be interesting though.
Well, it's more like, let me get into a routine of like what my training will look like. And then I'll show you what I eat in a day. Because otherwise it's like, hey, it's my first day back. And like, this is me, like that's not authentic. And I want to actually take you guys behind the curtain. So I'm not opposed to, I don't know if that should be my first video back. That seems a little random. I might have to like actually put out like the vlog about going to Black Canyon and whatnot, but.
We need to talk about that once we're doing our post show off air. We should talk about that. Okay. I was thinking it'd be funny. I should have brought it up tonight, but we contacted everyone from Black Canyon that left their drop bags with us and, you know, basically asking each person that left a bag, do you want it? Do you want part of it shipped back to you? Do you want to just donate everything or just have us toss it? And so I've been sorting through and we have this growing pile of food and snacks. This might sound very familiar, but just stuff people left. And it's like, stick around.
You're killing me, boss.
It might be funny to just like show what some people are bringing to ultras in 2021, because it is pretty incredible. Some of the things that people bring to ultras in their drop bags, like we're talking like this whole casserole pre-made meal that was in there. And it's like, I don't even know. I can't even, it would just be maybe next week's show. I'll just bring a bin and I'll just pull items out and we can review them in real time. I think it would be maybe a cool segment to the show. I don't know. The snacks have to be getting better is what Thomas Bowling is saying.
They're really not. I highly doubt that.
It's so funny.
Oh, that's, we literally said, take your bag with you. Don't even give the option.
Oh, there's like 4 or 5 bins worth of stuff. Well, and I ended up, on Sunday, I went back to the 60K to help run ops in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then on my way back to the office, I stopped by the 100K finish and picked up all the leftover drop bags. They all fit in the back of my Suburban, and then I dropped them off here. But there's definitely some leftovers. Dang it, there was a good one. Good question that I forgot already. I don't know. Oh, here it was. None ear and out the, I don't know. In one ear and out the, in one ear and out the, that's the name of this user who commented. Okay. It was all run together and I couldn't figure out how to break it up. Of your various challenges, drop bag challenge, Chipotle, etc., what would you want to revisit and why?
I'm gonna let you take this first because my answer is super obvious.
Yeah, we already know. Oh my God.
What is doing a lot of work in that question? Like, want to revisit.
What do I think would be comical to revisit? I mean, the mystery drop bag, I feel like it's just so timeless. I feel like that would be a good one that we could revisit. That's my answer. Well,
there it is. There it is. Yes.
But maybe in an illegal location. Yeah.
Dude, so we can actually post it. I gave you a legal course 3 years ago, and I filmed a video that I'm pretty sure I sent you the files for that you didn't follow through on your end on.
That's right.
So I've technically done the beer 10K twice.
You would do it a third time.
I'm only getting older and I'm getting worse at drinking. And maybe it's not helping.
No.
I doubt that based on many, many interactions. But I will say that would be the one that's the most fun because most people never saw that video and it's so hilarious for what it was. And I think that I don't know, we can never recreate the magic that was Pokemon Go playing a role into that beer 10K, yeah, but
it was the time and place, you know.
It was so money. The brunch after that was also absolutely hilarious. But if we're
that's right.
But if we're not going to do that, then I would actually revisit Chipotle.
Yeah, that's
in under the conditions that like it's not 105 degrees out when we start and only getting hotter. Also, preferably a route that has one functional water fountain along it might be helpful. just saying, give us a chance to succeed.
Whenever we make these challenges, we have to up the ante so much, like so ridiculously over the top, that it's guaranteed to end terribly for us.
We always overestimate how well we're going to do and we underestimate how long it'll take us.
It always sounds so easy on paper. And then it starts to play itself out and it's like, oh man, we really went over again on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was a brutal. I don't think I ever walked out of a challenge being like, okay, we've done good here. Aid Station of the Future. I think I was the only one that I walked out afterwards and was like, okay, cool. We're good. Everything else hurt either in the moment or afterwards.
I need to rewatch that one. That was pretty funny, I think.
It was goofy.
It was goofy. It was a weird one.
It was good. You're a much better drone pilot now, I must say.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably like just a few weeks after I got it or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Let's see here. Well, we got Thomas Bowling is inviting us to come out to San Antonio for the Labor Day and run with the Rockhoppers for the Whataburger Challenge. 3 Whataburger stops over 8 miles. Classic.
Has it got cheese?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
May Gackstetter saying the Tour du Drop Bag 2021.
Nah, I'm stuck.
What would that be? Would that be like we get drop bags from multiple races and string it all together?
That's almost worse than what I had in mind, which was just like we have a dedicated race, like a race course, where we just have a random drop bag there and we have no idea what's in it. because that could end real bad.
Well, is that kind of like what we did, like the one at Big Pine? What if we just ran a race?
Kind of.
Oh, here's one. I mean, this one's messed up, but you go enter a race and the only thing you can do is survive off of like stealing from other people's drop bags. I mean, this is.
How long is this race?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because there's a real possibility I might just try to go faster the entire time, which I don't know if that would be the winning strategy, but it would terrify me. Also, it doesn't set you up to like try to win, because then you're robbing somebody's drop bag.
I mean it's so messed up. You just like ransack people's drop bags that are actually trying to run a real race, and then they're screwed. Like it's awful.
It's the race equivalent of going to your office kitchen and jacking somebody else's lunch.
I mean, it could be a funny video to like. If we did like a hidden camera show, I shouldn't say these ideas. I'm not going to do it. We're going to talk about this post show because this is a good one. This is a really good one. Okay.
Come
back into the chat. We got any last questions here? Too many ideas are flowing. This is just an idea show.
Every one of these is just a live production meeting for the future.
This much.
So if you guys have hot fire takes of what I should do with the run flat vertical, let me know because...
Cole Nypaver's getting warmer here. Have a race where you each choose what's in the other person's drop bag. We talked about one of these. Didn't we do something where we were going to ship? Like I was going to set up a little package for you of mystery stuff, send it to you, and you have to do a run based upon what's in the package. And then you get a chance to send one back. And it becomes like, it could be this bounce back and forth type of video. Or we could just send it. And I think that would be a funny one. You have to put, you know, you have to put clothing and a vest and a water bottle and snacks, like everything in there for say like a 20-mile long run. And the person has to use everything in there. Maybe certain things can't be opened until a certain mile. And then it has to be consumed at that certain mile. I think that's got some legs to it.
Or I'm going to need like one of those like quarterback wristbands that have all of these instructions. Cause I know I'm drinking like six Ensures between miles 6 and 13, like I'm not going to remember that off the top of my head, but.
We could even do a live version of this now with our new technology. This could play out in real time. This is getting better and better. In One Ear and Out The says, yes, runners make... This is so good. What if there was a race where runners make drop bags, but the drop bag selection is random? Could you imagine? Like...
That's such a crapshoot.
That would be so awesome.
Such a crapshoot. Okay, here's how that model would work. Looped course. So we're talking backyard style, maybe like every 3, 4, 5 miles. Like we could figure out how that works. What you guys did for Lone Cactus, like the live version. But then it's just a mass of drop bags. You walk up and you just pull one. So at least like if you end up with something that's like, actually going to mess you up, you're by a bathroom and you have 4 miles to go until you can get like something that might actually save your race and like allow you to keep going. I think that's the only way that would work. Cause if we're doing like a 30 miles or like a 50K, like looped woody course, every drop bag's going to have to come with toilet paper.
Perfect. Yeah. Just identical bags all lined up and you just have to pick it. And maybe we could have lifelines where it would be, you can like swap with the other person. So you each get one and you could have a lifeline that says swap, or you could have a lifeline that says pick a new bag. This could be a whole TV show here.
We've now entered into like a Survivor-esque.
Yeah.
Like Ghost Island challenge.
I think we need to move from participant into host. We host the show, other people. They are the contestants, and there can be a prize.
Thank you.
Now we're talking.
Yes. Let's not hurt ourselves anymore.
You can win. Yes. Great.
Not my money, but yeah, maybe. I don't know. Figure out the details. You're the race organizer.
It says, this is brilliant. All right. We're on this. This is wonderful. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hey, man.
Someone said we should do this in a state where cannabis is legal. So.
Okay. Well.
I mean, I won't be doing that, but.
Correct. Yeah. I think we'll have to put some stipulations. We can't put things in there that will like incapacitate certain individuals. So.
Trivia questions you could potentially pick from a pool of better bags. If you get it wrong, you have to pick from a pool of worse bags. This is from Nancy Hobbs here.
I'm down for that.
Like ultra running trivia, and there could be like the bags could be rated or so, in some way. The mystery drop bag ultra show, like something like that could be a show.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think we can do just like not ultra running trivia. I think like, there are some questions that are like quote unquote common sense. Would just be interesting to see if people actually get as well. So it's like ultra running, which could be like very nuanced and some things that should be very basic, but somebody who's been on the trail for 3 hours might no longer be able to nail.
Gotcha. Could this be just running stuff in general or just runner or just general trivia, life trivia, like Jeopardy stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a choose, like we can do whatever we want at this point, but you know, I'm going to be partial to some, not ultra stuff. You know, there's some sub elite or road or track stuff that we can throw in there and people should know. That's it. I don't know why I said it like that. Yeah.
Charlie Seymour says this might only work if you guys make the bags. Oh, we would 100% make.
Yeah.
The bags. These are curated bags for sure.
Listen, people have started designing their drop bags they will leave behind to try to screw us over if we ever do this again. We're designing these bags. Y'all gonna hurt. Y'all think it's funny when you see the edited down like 10-minute clip on YouTube. When you see the 3.5 hours that made that challenge, you'll think again. You'll be like, oh no, nah, there was some real suffer.
Have we put out like a full live cut of just the whole thing? That would be a
there's
good one.
No way. There was so much dead space when
we could edit out when we're not in frame, but you could have everything else just we don't want to do that.
I am concerned of what I might have said and cursed some names.
I think it was a long time ago. It's fine.
I have no idea. That's not how it works. If there's anything we learned in the past three years.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think mostly I just cursed Haley and she was literally standing on the other side of the camera. So I think I'm probably fine.
All right. We got some more. People are digging this so far. We already have our first contestant, Crispin Flower Day. He says, I'm down for this.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, Crispin, love it.
In one ear and out the says each aid station, there's one bag, 100% insure.
Okay. I threw out insure. It's actually not a horrible.
Corey Wolfering was drinking it at Coldwater. So it's still a thing.
So this is a weird aside, but we've talked a couple times that like I started doing macro tracking. I'm really bad at hitting proteins and whatnot. And when I was in San Diego, I was doing like boosts or something. Cause like, it was just like in the fridge of the place I was staying and they're like here, but they were like, I don't think it was actually boosts, but it was like one of those small, like prepackaged things. But it had like 20 or 30 grams of protein in it. And like relatively low carbs and sugar and like low fats. And so I was just like pounding these things. And it was the only time I've had like perfect protein marks across an entire week. So I think there might be, I might've given the insurers too much guff. It might actually be a worthwhile aid station move for folks.
Make a non-dairy one. I'll throw it back.
I think it is vegan. There might be some versions of it. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to investigate that for you. But
cool.
Yeah. Especially you like always driving around, like it's basically shelf stable. I don't think you actually have to
have a case in the car, you know. Could be good.
Hey man, it worked for me.
Yeah. Large baggie of ambiguous white powder. I mean, that's a given. That's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Seymour says, I'm assuming no drugs or alcohol. Well, when we did the Big Pine mystery treasure chest. I mean, there was plenty of that flowing.
Alcohol, not drugs.
Well, there was
plenty of alcohol. Let me be very clear.
We don't do drugs. We don't do drugs.
We actually don't. That's not a joke. Like we don't do drugs.
Okay. This is good.
Government official. USATF, like tested athlete, worked for a school district. That's why I don't do drugs. It's like, it's not going to end well for me. Due to you. It's just personal choices. But a lot of alcohol. You buzzed at altitude. It was pretty funny though.
Oh yeah.
In the middle of that race. Yeah. That was a good time. I got to go back and watch that. I haven't watched that one.
We might need to do some more reaction videos too. If we haven't reacted to everything, I mean, there's a lot of people that I think have not been exposed to the early days of this channel that need to be re-exposed. That sounded bad. Okay. Mm-hmm.
As long as you do it.
out of context. All right.
And somebody just made that their ringtone. All right.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, we should make some more reaction vids. Because there are some that, like, even when we were not proximally together, like the donut 2.0 challenge, like, we should probably redo. We should talk through 1.0 and then talk about what we changed for 2.0. Oh, man, that's what's still in my office. I just realized that the award that I won from Ginger Runner for that is, I was trying to think through what I left in my office almost a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that is literally sitting, and it's like literally two school banners and that trophy. Like, that's what's on display. So that's how you know, anybody who walks in to my office, that's what they see. And they're like, what is this donut challenge thing? So that's clearly what I'm most proud of. But yeah, we should probably do a Redux reaction video of that. That's one I would take another crack at. I feel like I'm a little heavier now.
The donut one, like we're at November Project, that one?
I think.
Not cake donuts?
Not cake donuts.
Yeah, no.
I would do the stadium stair component of it again. I don't think I'll ever match the glory that was that Omaha run, though. Like, that was, or Lincoln. That was money. That was a long night afterwards, but that was a good test of endurance. That's when people ask me what my biggest athletic accomplishment was. I think that has to be up there. I keep forgetting that. But between that and the beer half marathon, like, those might actually be my two most athletic moments.
Did you ever do the T mile? Did you end up doing that one or no?
I didn't.
You've done some I haven't done, and I've done some you haven't done with like disastrous effects. So we're a little bit even. You might be more squared up than me. I probably owe you quite a bit, but
we are not going to listen. The beer 10K and the T mile are not equal.
The sweet T mile.
I will refer you, don't get me wrong. The sweet team, I wasn't opposed to it, like just timing and like I didn't have a track and like all these things.
Makes sense.
It sat in my fridge as most food did in my bachelor days, untouched. So I apologize to them. We can do that again for you. I will be on board. But the beer 10K, like I got sunburn. I went to a volleyball tournament right after and it was just like, it wasn't good. Just go look at the raw footage. Like it was... I had an extra drink in there because I made friends. Like, it was a whole
thing. You always have an extra drink at the beer 10K, whether it's my drink or someone else's drink.
That is true. But at least yours was, like, after I was done. That one was, like, in the middle of it. It was like a fireball shot or something. And I was like, sure, because it was, like, in the middle of a meadow. And that was a dumpster fire of a day. Yeah, I still hear about that one on a regular basis. So,
Jem's like, let it not be in doubt that each week a rabbit hole will be found that you lads will go deep down into. when we get to like an hour 20, it's just us, like, we would just be hanging out and chatting. So, this is just
we told you guys, this is what this whole podcast, like, this is us being like, man, remember the good old days when, except that, like, it now leads to potentially good things for you all later. So, and by good things, I mean, ruining your bodies. So get excited.
Well, with that, I think we are going to wind down this week's show. I think this is our longest episode ever, by a few minutes. So, you know, I am going to go try and either A, try and run, B, get some sleep, C, eat some protein stuff. I don't know.
Oh, snap. I'm sorry. There's one more thing I wanted to bring up for Run Flat News. And this could sort of be like our in memoriam end to the pod. Yesterday I tweeted about this. I was in my feelings. It was a hard day emotionally. The Bachelor, like, a lot happened on that episode that, like, I was not down with. The past couple weeks have, like, messed me up. But following the news of Daft Punk no longer existing and like watching Epilogue, like I didn't expect it to hit me the way it did. And it like, just like thinking through like my journey in music, not just like as a DJ, but like just like as a fan of music and art and everything they brought to the table. Like, it's just, I got to shout out Daft Punk for almost two decades of excellence and bringing electronica and electronic music to the masses. Like, everybody has heard a Daft Punk song, and like, whether you like EDM or not, like the what they did for bringing that sort of music to the mainstream and French house generic, like broadly, is it cannot be denied the impact that that's had. So I just got to shout out Daft Punk forever in our hearts one more time. That's it. I couldn't go with this episode without bringing that up. So if you've not gone down the Daft Punk rabbit hole in the past couple of days, I highly encourage you to, because it'll keep you moving on some runs. So that'll be what's powering me through all of my solo runs this week. I encourage you to do the same.
All right.
That's it. All right. That seemed like much more of a bummer than I anticipated it being. But yeah, if you have Bachelor hot takes, also feel free to drop those in the comments and we can rap about that before the women tell all next week.
Bachelor commentary, send it in the DMs Skylar's way.
That'll be next week's show. It's just me going deep about The Bachelor and my fantasy league and how it's going horribly for me for yet another season.
All right. With that, we're going to end this week's pod.
Jamil's out. He's like, no, I'm not doing this.
I'm losing it. It's getting late. I need some calories. Thank you all. We'll see you next week. Be sure you can catch this. We're a couple behind on getting on the audio format, but you can catch this on the podcasting platforms or right here each week on YouTube. We're going to keep evolving this show, making it better each week for you. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Comment, subscribe. We love you all. Peace.
Bye.